just about preparing for a revival meeting. As we look to the Lord in the coming days, as we have been, and as we prepare for Brother John Van Gelderen to come, you know, the evangelist sends a packet about 2 months before he arrives. The evangelists that we've had, I've noticed, have done that. And it's called an advance packet. And, you know, he just gives some ideas to help the meeting be successful, so that when he does come and brings the messages that he's prayed about and that he believes are for us. Because an evangelist, especially like John Van Gelderen, I'm sure he has hundreds, and I mean that, hundreds of messages that he preaches around the world. And I believe a man like Brother John, I believe he genuinely seeks the Lord to what Crooked Creek Baptist Church needs. And I try to make it a practice. I don't talk to the evangelist before he comes and gives him a list of things that I'm struggling with or that you're struggling with. I want the Holy Spirit to lead us in that. And so we don't have that conversation, but I am praying very genuinely, and I hope you are too, that God would give me, and I don't mean that to be selfish, but I think when we're talking about personal revival, I'm praying that God get me right where I need it. You know where I'm at, Lord, and I want revival. And then after that, I do want to pray for you. I pray, Lord, help our church to be rekindled, to renewed and revived. And so he gives some tips about how to do that, and such as prayer and fasting as a prayer chain, such as special prayer groups, and also preaching and teaching on revival, which really our theme is revival, is it not? He must increase. I must decrease. That is revival, folks. That's living out revival when Jesus is increasing in our lives. And that is our prayer. You know, C.H. Spurgeon says, a genuine revival without joy in the Lord is as impossible as spring without flowers or a day dawn without light. We do come believing the Lord, and we come with a joyful heart, but we also come seeking Him to give us brokenness where we need to be broken. Duncan Campbell said, an awareness of God, a consciousness of God, the very atmosphere charged with the power of Almighty God, that is corporate revival. And Duncan Campbell said, revival is a people saturated with God. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, a revival means days of heaven upon earth. Andrew Murray said, a revived church is the only hope for a dying world. I believe that. James A. Stewart said, revival is the people of God living in the power of an ungrieved, unquenched spirit. James McQuilkin said this, if God has visited His people before, He can and will do it again. I believe that. I don't believe for a moment that God has predestined His church to be lukewarm. You don't believe that either, do you? No. You know, people say, well, listen, they kind of have a, so, some have called them the pallbearers of revival. It's the pessimism and the doubters about God bringing a fresh wind of revival upon His church. They say that those times are long gone. And we're in the Laodicean age, the age of lukewarmness. But I'm afraid they've missed a major message of the message that Jesus gave to the church of Laodicea. You remember what it was? Repent. And Jesus is not going to tell a church to repent unless there is an opportunity to repent. We have that opportunity. And as God moves upon our heart, and I believe that's what He's doing, we simply respond through repentance. Somebody tell me what repentance means in your own description, in your own way. Someone. A change of heart with a change of direction. Very good. Someone else. Repentance. Being sorry for your sin. Absolutely. Someone else. These are good, by the way. What is biblical repentance? Anybody else? Yes, Owen? That's right. Very good, buddy. Turning away from your sin and turning towards Jesus. Amen, buddy. That's right. Someone else? Yes, Donna? A renewing of your mind? Yes. Amen. Someone else? These are all excellent. Anybody else? These are all correct and they're accurate. And what we do is repentance is responding to the Lord in obedience. And it does involve a change of heart. It does involve a change of mind. And it also, as Brother Ralph says, involves a change of direction, a turning from whatever it is that is displeasing to the Lord and turning to Him. And so that's what we're praying for, that there would be repentance here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Because there are areas in our life that we talked about this morning that the old man is more prevalent in our areas in our life, and we know about that, don't we? You know areas in your life where the old man, he pops up often. He takes the helm often. I know the areas in my life. And what I am asking God to do in those areas is to give us restoration and renewal, where we're going to see specific victory in those areas. And I believe God's going to do it. And I believe that it does come with the practicality, which, let's look at our verse here in 2 Chronicles 7:14. We understand this is a promise to the nation of Israel, but we know from 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is an inspiration of God and is profitable to us. All scripture. And so this message is repeated in the New Testament to the church. But listen to what he says. He says in verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, there's our repentance, from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We are to be a people seeking the Lord. You know, that word at the beginning of verse 14 is a big word. If. What does if mean? Well, I believe it teaches us right off that you have a part and I have a part. I have a part in seeing revival come. I have a part to play, if you will, and then I also have a choice to pray. And listen, one of the things when it comes to understanding your part, that's where we realize, look, let's don't be pessimists, let's don't be doubters, let's don't be that way at all. Let's come to the Lord and say, look, I can make a difference with my own heart. At Crooked Creek Baptist Church, I hope you'll take ownership at that. You teenagers, you young people, I hope that you will take this very personal. Say that, God, you got me here at Crooked Creek. I'm a member here. I attend here. And Lord, I want my heart to be touched with revival, just as much as any adult. And we all will say, okay, I'm going to take ownership. My heart will play a difference in God moving upon the meeting. And I do believe that your choice to pray will play a vital part as well. Because God responds. He would not use the word if God was not truly planning on responding to His people. But He does. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you, tonight? I am thankful that the Father does truly respond. But in order for Him to respond, there does need to be, as we notice in our passage, we need to humble ourselves. And you cannot have revival without humility. By truly, as the verse says in John 3:30, we're saying, Lord, You must increase, but I must decrease. It's a lowering of ourselves. Now, the Bible says in James 4:7, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and the Bible says He shall lift you up. So in order to be lifted up, we have to get low first. And I told the guys at Neighborhood Bible Time when I was preaching to them about the power of God on your life. If you want the power of God on your life, the hand of God, which I hope we all do, there's got to be a lowering. And I do believe, this is the phrase I gave them. I said, if you want the glow, you must get low. If you want the face of God to shine upon your life, you got to be willing to humble yourself. And you got to be willing to say, God, I am wanting to, whatever it takes, I'm wanting to be right with You. There's humility. But then notice, not only do we see humility, we see it is praying. It is praying, seeking the Lord. James tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman does what? Availeth much. Hey, you know what that verse is saying? It will get a lot done. It will get a lot accomplished. It will move the omnipotent hand of God upon our lives. And I just want to say that we do not pray to a reluctant God. He is more than willing to pour out His blessings upon His people, upon His church. He loves His church. Hey, we're His bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. And He's seeking to purify His church, as Ephesians tells us. And He's wanting her, He's wanting to present her spotless. And so therefore, He wants to see a revived church. Amen? God's going to have His way. Prayer makes a difference. And we see seeking the face of God. What does that mean? Well, we know the verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let's say it together. Matthew 6:33, if you know it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. That seeking the righteousness of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the glory of God. That's what we're seeking Him for at Crooked Creek. We're saying, Lord, as Brother John comes, we don't want to wait till he gets here to get stirred. We want revival to fall fresh now, if all possible, God. Let us come. I've already decided this is where I'm going to be. Right here. This is where I want to be. I usually sit up there, but God says, no, you need to go down there and sit on the front. I said, all right, Lord, I am. So, Joanna, I'm sorry, honey. We're going to be on the front pew. But I pray that we'll be on the edge of our seat, folks. I pray that we'll be hungry for the Word of God. Thirsty for it. Lord, give me exactly what I need. Lord, You know where I'm at. Anoint the man of God as he preaches. Oh, fill him, Lord. We want to seek Your face, God. We want to respond. We're not here to play games, Lord. We really want to be people that are a church that's on fire for God, don't we? We want to be a living church that's seeking to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. People are dying and going to hell around us every second, folks. Maybe not right down the street, but all around us in our country, in this world. And I believe that God wants a church that's on fire and alive, going out with a glow upon them, with the face of God shining upon them, making an eternal difference. It ain't going to be the old man that does it. I tell you that. We know what he has to offer. But it's going to be that new nature. It's going to be the new man having full realm, full reign. So there's a seeking. We're going to seek the Lord. But then notice what it says. Turn from their wicked ways. This is vitally important. And I believe that as we will turn from the areas that we are convicted about, I believe the Lord will respond to that. Now, unless I be too vague here and just a bit ambiguous, I do want to say this. When we look at the word turn, I do want to say that this is not speaking of sinless perfection. God's not saying, now, when you get all perfect, then I'll respond to you. I'll come. I don't think that's the picture. And if somebody wants to talk to me later about it, you have another idea, I am more than open to hear about it. But I think that the turning is just turning from my own way, my own sinful proclivities, my own where I'm inclined, when I am, the things that I know where I am struggling, is simply God recognizing His people turning, making a choice to say, Lord, here am I. You know where I'm at. Help me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. It's a daily restoration. It's a moment-by-moment restoration. It's not a one-and-done. And I just want to say that to encourage you, because sometimes we can get the ideas, hey, that means I got to get all cleaned up and I have to be perfect for God to visit with me. No, God just wants your heart to be turned to Him. He wants you to be coming in His direction. And He knows where you're struggling. He knows those areas that need to be attended to. But hey, when we turn from our wicked ways and turn to Him, He gives us the power to overcome. And then when we do go back, and when we do fall, and we do, as I mentioned yesterday, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me, oh, from this? I do believe God brings a cleansing when we come to Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. John 1:7, 1 John 1:7. Walking in the light. And when we let His light of His holiness and His glory shine upon us, and there's a humility and a response and repentance and seeking the face of God, He brings that victory, that cleansing. And then that's when the Holy Spirit will govern and guide us unto more and more victory, more and more sensitivity and responding to the Lord. So just to close with a few thoughts here as we have some time of prayer. God has sent seasons of refreshing to His people down through the ages. Do you believe tonight that He wants to do it again? I'll ask one more time. Church, do you believe tonight that God is seeking to bring a time of revival and refreshing to His people again? Amen. I do too. And it's beautiful. it truly is. Someone was talking to me the other day about revival, and I really appreciate the point they made. You understand, when we're seeking the Lord for revival, we're not looking for just the sensational. That does happen, but that's not what it's about. But what it is about, it's about seeking the Lord. It's about being sensitive to Him and His voice, hearing it clearly above all others. Not just His voice of conviction, but revival is also hearing His voice of comfort. Amen. It's just hearing Him. It's hearing His voice of cleansing, His voice that has forgiven us and restored us. And God says, I'll hear from heaven. I don't believe the doors of heaven are shut for one moment upon the local churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe they can be shut, but I believe that God says He is glad to drop them open and just rain down the blessings of God, spiritual blessings. That's what we truly long for. As the old songwriter says, there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, Lord, He says, showers of blessing. Mercy drops round us are falling. But oh, for the showers, for the downpour, for the torrential downpour of God's spiritual blessings, we cry. Oh Lord, would You do that? I believe He will. I believe He is. And I want to thank Him for it even tonight. I want to praise Him for it. One of the things that I think it's important as we prepare for revival, we've mentioned these things, but what do we do when God responds? We're seeking the Lord, we're repenting, and by the way, that just doesn't happen before the week of before the evangelist comes. We understand that. But we are making a special emphasis on purpose, and we should. But we want it to continue after the meeting. We want to see fruit that will remain for weeks and months and years in this church. I'm praying that there will be fruit that will remain after we're long gone until the rapture comes. That this church will be helped and encouraged and strengthened because of it. What do we do when He responds in the messages? I do want to encourage you, church, and I'm going to have a little bit of pastor talk with you right now, just pastor and church talk. And I've already asked the brothers to pray for me, because I don't want this to come across in any awkward way. But I just want to try to explain some things to you here when it comes to responding during the meeting. It's going to be a wonderful atmosphere. Brother John's going to come in. I have full confidence he's going to come in prayed up. Just being sensitive to the Lord. I believe we are. I believe the music is going to be truly Spirit-filled. Spirit-anointed is what we're praying for. And I believe there are going to be some messages that are going to really hit home with us. And what I want to encourage you as a church is when it comes to the responding time. Yes, we're going to respond even during the preaching. You know how well as I do that there are some times that right at the beginning or even middle of the message, boy, the Holy Spirit speaks to a specific point and it's like you can hardly think about anything else because that one point just is like, wow, I so needed that, Lord. But one of the things I'm going to encourage you to do, and I don't want anybody to do this artificially or mechanically, but I just am asking you to be more open to it, that during the invitation, after the preacher preaches the message and gives the invitation of an altar call, I'm encouraging you to be more open and willing to come find a place at the altar. And it should not be rushed. It should not be forced. And it will not be. I don't believe in that. But there are some practical reasons behind an altar call. I believe that altar calls are biblical. And the reason I do that is because altar calls are simply responding to the messages of God. And you find that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It didn't necessarily go to the front of the church. Maybe it was in the front of a field. Maybe it was at the temple. Maybe it was at different areas of life. Maybe it was someone's house. But there was a response, a physical response to God's Word. And I believe in inner responses to God's Word. That's where it starts. But here are some things that I just want to encourage about when it comes to the physical aspect of responding. Number one, a public response, I believe, is good. A public response. Now, again, the private response is the most important because that's the heart. Someone may ask, where's the altar? The true altar is your heart. That's where the decision is made. Unless I be mistaken, that is the true altar. But then you do, as a church, and I do, have a responsibility of making that response public at times. Not necessarily every time. But it's something that I think is important because I'm not ashamed when God works in my heart. And I'm afraid there are times that churches will not have altar calls because afraid someone's going to be embarrassed. And that just shouldn't be the case, brethren. No one knows what you're dealing with. We all understand as spiritual people that it could be anything that we're communing with the Lord about. Anything. And if that person decides to give a testimony later on that night or that week and how God worked in their heart, well, that's to God be the glory. But it is a special time to respond. And here's another thing that I believe the altar call does as a public response is that it encourages the preacher. Now, I know some of you may think right off, well, we're not responding for the preacher. You're right. You're not. Never. Never responding to impress the preacher or necessarily just to encourage him. That's not the reason. But I will say this. It is a blessing to the preacher when he sees God's people responding to the message, not to him. Do you see the difference? It encourages him not because, hey, I caused people to come forward. No, that's somebody that's filled with pride. But I know that when people respond to the Word of God, it is an encouragement to the pastor's heart. But and the preacher's heart, the evangelist's heart. But I'll tell you another thing that it encourages others around you. Now listen, I'm just going to tell you reality. This is just how we work as humans. And you can be critical and not believe in this at all, but I'm telling you, we never go forward because my neighbor went forward. But I will tell you this. Sometimes it does make it easier when you see a brother or sister going as well. It's just how we are. God made us that way. We feed off of each other. And it sets a good spiritual, healthy environment when folks freely come to the altar just in responding to the message. You're not responding to the preacher. You're responding to how God has spoken to your heart. And you're either praying in response. It could be just praise, confession, repentance, rededication. Tons of things. No, we're not. And we're not to be thinking about what that person's praying about. My mind is to be on how the Lord's dealing with me. But it does set forth an atmosphere of response to the Word of God freely. And unless I be mistaken, I do want to say this because you guys know my heart. Neither does it, just like we talked about with fasting, neither does it make you any more spiritual in God's eyes because you come forward. So you don't need to feel that weight. But please, we should never let pride keep us in our pew. Afraid what people are going to think. Or I'm fine, I don't need to do that. Because I will tell you this, in the times that I have made my way down an aisle and to an altar, I'll tell you some of the most important decisions I've made in my life. And I can think back at school and churches I've been in where the pastors have spoken. And I do believe there is a practicality of that when we do go to the altar and pray and however God's dealing with us, I do believe it gives some solidification. It solidifies many times the decision we've made. Because I put some feet to the decision that happened inwardly, privately. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. I want to go spend some time in prayer about this. And then that helps us as a church to pray for one another, encourage one another. And I want to tell you, I didn't even want to talk about this tonight, but I have been thinking and the Holy Spirit said, just talk about it. We don't have to feel bad about it, but I do believe that there needs to be an atmosphere of response in the local church. And that may not always mean an altar call. I'm not saying that's the only way. You guys understand me. Are y'all with me tonight? Is anybody mad at me? I hope not. You're not mad at me. I just want to be real with you on that. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will just help us to be open and real. And to let God work in a great way. But I will say this. If anybody here ever sees me trying to force invitations, because I do not believe in that. I do not believe in playing 29 verses of Just As I Am until somebody comes. I do not think that's healthy, because that's not of the Spirit. But what we're talking about is just seeking the face of God in response to the Word of God and allowing God to be honored and glorified, and to encourage others, and just letting the Lord have His way. Well, let's pray. Father, I do want to thank You so much for the blessings of the Word of God, and Lord, revival, and Lord, how You're wanting and desiring to visit with us. You're not reluctant, Lord God, tonight. We just want to thank You for that. I pray that, Lord, that You would arrest the hearts of every person in this room, every person that's listening live stream, all those that did not make it tonight. When they come on Wednesday night or next Sunday morning, I pray that we would all just be truly tender and sensitive. God, I don't know all that You're desiring to do, but I believe You're going to do great things. They're going to make an eternal difference in the days to come. Thank You for loving us, Lord. Thank You for meeting us right where we are. We honor You. Just want to take this time just to, let's just pray for the upcoming meeting.